Okay, friends, welcome to the Inner Dimension Shir and Parshas Achri Mois Kedoshim. I so appreciate you tuning in to listen, to those who will be listening to the recording and watching the video online afterwards. It means so much to me that you take time to sit and to spend a bit of our day delving into the inner waters of Chassidus, of the Tzaddikim, to learn Hashem's Torah on a very, very deep and personal and meaningful level. B'siyata d'shmaya. So today, with Hashem's help, we're going to be focusing on a teaching from the Me'ah Shiloach, a teaching from Rabbi Nachman of Breslov, and a teaching from the Ma'ar Inayim, all on Parshas Achri Mois Kedoshim, most of them from Kedoshim. And we're going to try to make it personal. I'm going to try to make it practical, and that's what the whole purpose of the Shir is about. That's what the purpose of Chassidus is about, is to take the Torah and to take verses that we might have studied and looked at and learned and seen as an intellectual endeavor to understand what Hashem is telling us, but then to take those ideas and to make them super personal, super relevant, super down to earth. And that's our whole focus, that's our whole goal, and that's what Hashem wants, and that's what Hashem sent the Tzaddikim for, so that we can find that doorway into the inner dimension of Torah. And so we begin today with the Me'ah Shiloach. If you have the source sheets, I sent them out over WhatsApp. I couldn't this week put them on a link for those on Facebook. Hopefully I'll post a link afterwards. But for those who have the sources and can follow along, please do so. And if you don't, so please try to listen as I read the words inside. The first piece is from Me'ah Shiloach, Volume 2, Context and Content of Yahavta L'Re'acha Kamocha. These are the words of Reb Mordechai Yosef Liner of Ishvitz Chusya Gerlenu. The Pasuk says in Kedoshim, Yahavta L'Re'acha Kamocha Ani Hashem. You shall love your fellow as you love yourself. I am God. One of the most famous, one of the most foundational commandments. And the whole Torah that Hillel tells the Ger, who comes to be Megayer, who tells Hillel, teach me the whole Torah as I stand on one foot. Hillel tells him, Mada Allah Sene L'Chabrich Lo Sabed. What you don't like being done to you, don't do to others. And the Ramban learns that that's really an Aramaic rendering in a different way of saying v'yahavta l're'acha kamocha, in a negative sense. Don't do to others what you want, or what you don't want done to you, is the negative rendering of the mitzvah saseh d'oraisa of v'yahavta l're'acha kamocha, that a person should act toward others in a goodly way, in a positive sense, in a way that he wants himself to be treated by others as well. And that to Hillel encapsulated the whole Torah, and Hillel told him, Bepem Mali, he said, everything else, the Idach Pirusha, everything else is only a commentary, Zilgamar. Once you know this foundational principle, this premise, all the rest of the Torah is only commentary to teach a person how to develop that other consciousness. And the Svarim go at great lengths to explain how this really encapsulates the whole Torah. The Kedushas Levi, for example, teaches that if we can begin to look at another Jew as we view ourselves, and we realize that they're just as valuable, just as important, and we care about their needs, then we're able then to look up at the source for that Selem Elohim that's embodied in this fellow, in this friend, and we're realizing that we have to go and take HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, into account as well, and to feel his needs personally as well. V'yahavta l're'acha kamocha, to bring you to Ani Hashem, as the Tzaddikim describe and explain. But this is what the Me'ah Shiloach says, such a beautiful, beautiful idea, an astoundingly beautiful idea. And this is what the tzaddik says: Shemi mitzvot v'yahavta l're'acha kamocha is gadol kvod shamayim. All the tzaddikim are focusing on what's the juxtaposition, what's the connection between Ani Hashem, I, so to speak, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Yud Kei Vav Kei, I am Hashem, and this mitzvah saseh v'yahavta l're'acha kamocha. What does a bin adam l'chavero sort of principle seem to have in connection with bin adam l'makom, with Ani Hashem? What's the connection? And so the Me'ah Shiloach focuses on this, and he jumps right in. It's an unasked question, and he answers that through the mitzvah v'yahavta l're'acha kamocha, yizgad al kvod shamayim. This brings about, as he's going to explain, this brings about kvod shamayim. This brings about the glory of shamayim, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence in the world. Shemitzad hateva, because he says the natural inclination of the human being is kol atay v'shadam isagim. Anything, any good things that a person is able to bring into his life, hu machnisam la'atzma. He tries to bring them in for his own personal benefit, for his own personal satisfaction and indulgence and gain. Uminayin yavo, where does this come from? Sha'adam roitza lehetivim chaveroi, la'ashpia lehim, imashachana noisei Hashem. That a person has this feeling of compulsion to go ahead and to give to others what he got for himself. Where does that come from? That's negative, that's anti, so to speak, the goof, the physical orientation of the human being that wants only to be egotistical. That's what gravity is. Gravity is focused in the earth of which man is composed, and gravity is downward focused, inward focused, all the time, pulling everything to himself. Instead of going ahead and pushing, so to speak, what's coming to him toward the lives of others, that seems to be outside the natural force of the egotistical gravity that's baked into our essence. Where does that come from? Humipnei, says the Ishbitzer, humipnei, it is reflective of the consciousness, sheyodea, that the person knows, shekamayshu nivra me'Hashem yizbarach, in the same way that he is only a creation, that he's not the source of things, that he's not the ultimate master of things. Kein gam chaveiro nivra me'Hashem yizbarach. Just as he is justified in his life, and his life is of supreme importance to him because that's what he perceives to be reality through these eyes he looks, such a person who's conscious of understanding that he deserves things just by virtue of being, in this creation, having been created, such a person is able to look at the next person and realize that they're just as justified, that they're just as deserving, that they're just as deserving of all of this good that's coming to us, that the other is deserving of all the things that we, so to speak, should go ahead and validate their being just as we feel ourselves to be validated. So just like he's a creation and created by God, so is the other created by God. Also brought in the Sefer HaTanya in the 32nd chapter, which is also built on this concept of Yahafta the Reacha Kamocha Ani Hashem, which also comes to answer the question that we mentioned before, the unspoken question in this piece from the Me'ashiloah. Av Echad Likulana, we all have one God. We all have one Father. Kel Echad Baranu, one God created us. V'lamnim nimna miligmal chesed ze'ezeh, zera bruchi Hashem. So why then should a person go ahead and hold back from doing goodness to another and to hold it all and hoard it all for himself, if the reason why he believes that he should get goodness for himself because he's validated as a creation, he's validated as a personality, he's validated as a consciousness that's functioning in this world, so too his friend is. Everything that validates him validates his friend. On the simplest level of just being. On that simplest level. And he says there's another facet, another angle. That a person knows. Every person ultimately knows. We just had a Yom HaTzmaut, the 6-day war. We're celebrating all of these miracles that happened. Anybody with a brain in their heads knows. From what I understand, even in military colleges where they study these things, they don't even study that war because there was nothing to study. It was not strategy. It was total nisim and flux beyond anybody's wildest dreams to imagine what took place on that during those days. It's unbelievable, really, during the first day. It's an ace, a miracle. Nobody in their right mind, really, when focused on it without any pretenses, without any ulterior motives, when you really focus on the MS, we realize that Al Karcha Chatachai, the Gemara says, you're living, your very life is outside of your jurisdiction, so to speak. We don't will ourselves to live. When it comes up to us and it's time to go, we're finished. Life is gifted to us every moment. Nothing's certain. Every breath that we take is totally on the master of the world, breathing out, so to speak, so that we can breathe in and take another breath. Such a person knows that everything that he has, everything that he earns, everything that he surrounds himself with in life, it comes from Hashem. Rak mitet Hashem hiloy. Everything is that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives to him. So such a person realizes that whatever I have is given to me by the one who commands, that you should love the other one just as much as you love yourself, again within healthy boundaries, and that a person needs to understand that the other person is valid, that the other person is deserving, that the other person is justified in his being. So such a person realizes that it's really not my prerogative to hold things back. It's really not my prerogative to be selfish. Why should I be selfish? That other person is just as validated as I am. We're both creations, and everything that I was given again that which I can give in a healthy way. Obviously, family comes first, and v'chule. There are laws, but that's also tzedakah. That's also charity. Even a person eats for himself. is a form of charity. There are laws about these things, stages about these things. That doesn't mean that I'm more deserving of what I have than the next guy. It just means that that there are laws of precedence that govern this precedence of this charity. But that ultimately charity, when it can be given, needs to be given. We have to the Riach HaKamocha, because I realize that it was only given to me by the one who commands me to give to the other. And my very being is just as deserving, so to speak, as the next guy. And his validation is just as valid as my validation, as being in this world, as existing. And I have to realize that, just like for myself, the Gemara says, every single Jew needs to say, "Bishvili nivra olam," the world was created for me. I have to realize that from my friend's perspective, taking in that same text with his set of eyes, it's "Bishvilo nivra olam." It's the same thing. Is that each and every human being is a world unto himself. And the world is a circle because, so to speak, from our perspective, each and every individual, where they're standing, is the center of the universe. That's how we perceive it. That's the circular nature of things. Wherever a Jew is, wherever a human being is on the map, that's the center of the universe. Like Rabbi Nachman says in Torah, hey, that shouldn't bring a person to a feeling of entitlement, adrabah, that should bring a person to a feeling of responsibility. So it's mutual. From my perspective, when I read those words, this is very deep. From my perspective, when I read the words, Bishvili Nivra Olam, I have to see it as a responsibility. The world was created for me to fix, to daven for, to look out for, to see who can I help, how can I fix things, how can I make the world a brighter place. But my friend also has that same title, Bishvili Nivra Olam. When again, taken through his pair of eyes, it means something completely different. When it's my friend's Bishvili Nivra Olam, I have to take a look at it as the world was created for him. In that sort of way that makes him more deserving in a certain way than anybody else. It's my responsibility to do for him, to do for the next one, because for them, Bishvili Nivra Olam, from my perspective, doesn't mean that all of a sudden the world is their responsibility. No. That's what it means for me. What it means for them is that they're just as deserving as I could ever perceive myself to be. This that he loves his friend, Kamayu, this God of Kvoy Shemayim. So it turns out that from both of these premises, the context of the mitzvah after the Riach HaKamocha is Gadol Kvod Shamayim in an unbelievable way. Because what does this mean? This means that the reason why I'm going ahead and feeling toward another, and we all need to work in this, I know that I myself need to work in this so much, I can't speak for anybody else, but I know that I'm very, very far from all these things, but just to talk in a way of chizik, and chas v'shalom, never to try to give guidance and direction and things that I'm very, very distant from, I'm very wary of where I am. But all of us together, even in the schus of learning it, that we could try to grow in this a little bit, to be conscious of it, we need to realize that this that compels us and that enables us to go ahead and to treat someone else like we ourselves feel that we deserve to be treated is built on two premises that have to do with Kvod Shemayim. One, we were created. That means that the premise of the after the Riach HaKamocha is emunah, is the knowledge that all of us, so to speak, are founded each and every moment on a Kadosh Baruch Hu that's giving us life. And the second one is the belief that everything we have is given by Him, is given by Him who creates, is given by Him who commands. And so from these two things, Nizgalu Kvod Shemayim, and that's the smichus, that's the juxtaposition in the pasuk of Yahav to the Riach HaKamocha, Ani Hashem. Because the more that a person is, so to speak, fostering within his life these two points that enable him then to turn outward, so to speak, and to treat someone else with as much validation as he wants to be treated, is to take the other person's Bishvili Nivra Olam into account in the deepest sense of the word. And the more that he realizes that everything that he has is only given to him for the purpose of giving, either to himself in the proper way, to his family, and then outside the boundaries to the other. And to look at the world in a way that everything is justified, just as justified as we perceive ourselves to be, as we'll see again in a minute, in a deeper way. These two points bring about the Ani Hashem, bring about the Kvod Shemayim, bring about the revelation of godliness in this world, like the Pius Etzner Rebbe writes, Chus Yagin Aleinu, and Chavis HaTamidim, toward the very, very, very end, in the very last section, the Heilige Pius Etzner Rebbe, the Chavis HaTamidim writes, the Ish Kodesh, he says that in the measure that two Jews bind together in love, in that measure, commensurate to that bonding, will HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love descend upon them. They create a vessel. Very much like the Gemara says, Ish v'isha, a man and his wife, spouses, zacha, if they marry, shechina shri b'neim, they build a vessel, they build a kli, that in between them is resting the shechina. V'yahav to d'recha k'mecha, s'ani Hashem. It builds that vessel through these two points of support. And here we move into the last piece from this particular teaching. And this is so, so important and so beautiful and so life-changing. And how does a person go ahead? What is the content? We spoke about the context of V'ahavta l'recha kamocha, these two foundational premises and principles. But what's the content? How am I supposed to go ahead and to look at the other Jew once I know that I should, once I know that I need to, once I know that I can? Says the Ishvitzer, the content of V'ahavta l'recha kamocha is v'chein tzarech l'kayim mitzvos V'ahavta l'recha kamocha shekamoshi ya'adam oyevis atzmoi. How does a person love himself? What does kamocha mean? How do I look at myself and all of us look at ourselves? Afal pishe makir atzma b'yedeach esroinu. Even though a person knows his own heart better than anybody else, and they know all the secrets, and they know all the hiddenness, and they know all the feelings and emotions that don't come to verbalization, and all the subconscious feelings and subconscious emotions that don't even come to expression in thoughts, they know themselves, inward and outward. And with that knowledge comes knowledge of all the good things that other people don't know, but it also comes with the knowledge of all the chesroinus, and all the lacks, and all the blemishes, and all the ugliness, and all the lowliness. Nikom makrim al kol pshayim techas ha'avasel anafshel, like the pasuk says. His love for himself overrides any of the knowledge of chesronos. Does that mean that he wipes them away? Is he not self-aware? Is he deluding himself? Absolutely not. He is aware that he has chesronos. I am aware that I have chesronos. Ani mamin, I know. It's beyond belief. I am aware of my lacks. I am aware of the things that I need to fix, and all of us are. Because we're all not perfect. We're all human beings. We're all trying. All of us together. But that doesn't stop me from believing in my validity. That doesn't stop me from believing that I deserve to have my life filled and supported by HaKadosh Baruch Hu just by virtue, again, of the fact that I'm here and the fact that I'm trying and the fact that Hashem gives me life makes me believe that He believes in me. Knowledge of my chesronos and my blemishes does nothing to take away from the fact that I believe that I am valid, that I believe that I am justified, that I believe that I am essentially deserving. So if that's the kamoicha, if that's the ahavta l'recha kamoicha, love another like you yourself would like to be treated, if that's the kamoicha, so v'chein tzarech le'ev es gam es chaver. That's how you have to treat someone else. That's how I have to go ahead and to love the next person. Afal pishe makar esel aval chisarin. Even though we're very, very aware, more aware now than ever, we've been cooped up in small places with people 24/7, we're all aware of the faults of our immediate family, all of us. And they're aware of our faults just the same. And we're all aware of the faults in the general community and the debates that are raging and what's right and what's wrong and the different elements and the unanswerable questions. All of us, we're all aware of all these things. And the tendency and the time of frustration like we're in now, and I hope you're all well. And Baruch Hashem, we're well over here and we're yearning for the geula. We're not yearning for things to go back to normal. We're yearning for the redemption, kipshuta. We can't. We can't just handle after this to go back to normal. We need mamash to move into a new world order. And I think we will. I think we will. By hook or by crook, we will. But we're waiting for Mashiach every moment. But in this frustrating, challenging time, the tendency is to express all of that frustration in a way of anger, in a way of looking at other people's blemishes, and at other people's chesronos, and other people's lacks, and other people's faults. But kamoicha, the same way that we look at our own faults, and we don't allow that to get in the way of affecting our essential validity, afal pishe makaris adaval chisar, and even though we look at other people and recognize their faults, we don't think they're perfect, that doesn't take away from our love for them. That doesn't take away from our unconditional relationship with those around us on the level of essential validity. That's what the after the Recha Kamacha is, just basics. You're human, you're in this world, God's giving you life, you're deserving, period. Period. V'zemoirani Hashem. And this is a second answer to the juxtaposition of Ani Hashem with the after the Recha Kamoicha, where our God says, Shekamoisha Hashem Yizbaruch, just like Ani Hashem, Oyev Eshneichem Afal Pishem Makir Chesroinchem. I love you both of you, who sometimes can look at each other and say, ooh, what a fault this person has, what an ugly personality, what terrible character traits. And you're both looking at each other thinking the same thing. God says, guess what? I love you both unconditionally, despite both of your Chesroinus. Both of you have Chesroinus, and I love you both. It doesn't hold back my love for you. That's what Ani Hashem is. That's what that unconditional relationship with the giver of all givers, with the lover of all lovers, the creator of creators. Gideon be Gemara, the Gemara says in Kedushin, the one Reb Meir, Shitas Reb Meir, like the Ritva says, that we paskin like, Ben Kachu, Ben Kachatim Krim Banim. Either way, you're my children. And so it turns out a remarkable thing in the depth of this Ishbisar, in the Meir Shiloach, The very same concept that provides the content of Yahavta Dereacha Kamocha, which is the unconditional relationship that I'm supposed to feel toward the other, because that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels to all of us as His children. That also provides the context in this, that if we are Hashem's children and that He loves us unconditionally, and so I'm supposed to love the other unconditionally, that means that we're both brothers, and so we deserve to love each other unconditionally. Because we're both valid as creatures. We're both valid as Hashem's children. And so the context and the content are bound together by this concept of being Hashem's children, Ani Hashem. And therefore, that reflects back in the beginning of the verse, the Ahavta Dereacha Kamocha, both in content and in context, because Ani Hashem. And that's the piece from the Me'ah Shiloach. I want to go further into the Likut Moran. Again, we might have to go a little bit over time today. And we'll speed through the Maranayim. It's very long, it's very complex, but it's so beautiful. It's chaval not to learn it. Kedoshim is so packed. These parashiyos, there was so much to sift through. It was like endless, endless, endless. It was so difficult. But I believe and I know Be'emunah Shleima that all of us will have until 120 to spend together learning. And so gave me a little bit nechama that we don't have to do everything at once. Tafasta meruba lo tafasta. So here the Likut Moran, Rabbi Nachman Breslover and Tinyana Yud Zayin speaks about this, that the Me'ah Shiloach says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's way is to look at the good things, not to look at the chisroinus. Listen to Rabbi Nachman's Lashon HaZahav. Listen to these golden words from the Rebbe. Schus Yer Galeinu. Derech Hashem Yizbarach. It is the way of God. Lahabit ala toive sha'oisim. To look at the good things that we do. That's God's way. What's God's personality? What's Hashem's minhag, so to speak? What's He like? Derech Hashem Yizbarach. His way is lahabit ala toive sha'oisim. The Avshin Nimtza Behem Gamkein Masha Inatoy, and even when HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at the mitzvahs that we do, and He finds that they're filled with lowliness themselves, that they're filled with ulterior motives, that they're filled with gaiva, that they're filled with machshava zaris, that they're filled with all sorts of blemishes. Einoy Mistakel Al Zeh, Rabbi Nachman says He doesn't look at it. He doesn't choose to look at it. That's not what God is looking for. K'moy Shekasev, it's an open pasuk in Bamidbar, Loi Hibit Aven BeYakov. God does not choose to see the iniquity in Yaakov. They get marked down. Asid Li Allah says Din V'Cheshbin in Chanami, that we believe in Schar and Onesh. But God's general mode of Ashkacha is not to look at those things. Doesn't choose to look at La Yuuna The Talmud of Devarah discusses, the pasuk is slipping my mind now, but there's a pasuk that says that no ra enters into that very lofty place. Keser, and higher than Keser. Now, Olam HaSal Yoyin, and ultimately, the Havdol and the Ein Sof, there's no ra that enters to that place. Lim Tzavi Dafka Masha'in Tov, that's not God's way. To find Dafka, the things that are in Tov, that's a human tendency, and it doesn't come from the neshama. That comes from the klipa. That comes from the goof. That comes from the gravity. The ego. That comes from the lower elements. That's not the tselem elokim. That the same way that we feel compelled to find lacks in other people, that comes from God. No. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking at the toiv, and even within the toiv, He chooses not to look at the bad, at the negative. I'm sorry. Mikol Shekein, and so certainly Sha'adam, and this is again the same connection, the same thought process that the Ishvitzer expressed. Mikol Shekein Sha'adam Asur Lo Lahabit Al Chavir L'Ra. So we have to, so to speak, imitate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in imitating Him, we embody Him, so to speak. In imitating Him, we draw Him down into our experience. We reveal Him in the world. And so, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses not to look at the Ra, and chooses only to look at the Torah, that's His Derech. Mahu Afata, like the Gemara in Saita says, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu acts, that's how we are supposed to act. And so Asurloi, it's forbidden for a person lahabat al chaver la'ra, to choose to find the negative. Yes, there's negative, like I spoke about last week. It's no kunz, it's no chiddush to go ahead and to find the bad. Anyone can complain. It's the easiest thing in the world. We're surrounded by what we perceive to be negativity. That's not a chiddush. Ah, but the avoda is, the gibar is, to stand up and to say good things. Anybody can write 1,000 Facebook posts pointing out the negative, you know, things that everybody in the community is doing, and this rav and that rabbi and this thing, and certain things have to be said by the right people. But to spend our whole entire day in that avoda, to find people, the things that people are doing wrong, and to criticize, and that goes, you know, to family members, to children, to parents, to siblings. It's just, it's a lowly way of living. It's not, that's not the embodiment of the godly spirit. That's not the shining image of Mamlechas Kaihanim Egoi Kadosh. And anybody can do it. Even though it makes a person feel, it gives them the rush. Look, you know, that they could speak the sharpest, that they could, you know, have the guts to stand up and to speak, you know, from their platform to the people who anyway believe what they're saying. They're not, that their messages are never reaching the people that they're intended to reach. They reach the people who anyway believe in them. So they get patted on the back and they get a bunch of likes and they get a bunch of comments. You're so right. And for weeks and weeks and weeks and months and years, these people stand up all the time to speak, only to find out, to point out, it's not a chiddush to do that. That's not the courageous thing to do. The courageous thing is to stand up and to choose not to see the ra. Is to choose to live our lives properly, to learn from the mistakes of others and make sure that we're not imitating them and copying them. Without question, and to know what's right and to know what's wrong, and to have that line demarcated. But a public, so to speak, persona is that a person should really go ahead as much as they can, and everybody's trying. It's a difficult time. That's why I resolved early on that I'm not going to allow opinions of others to be formed based on their reaction or action during this time period, because there's so much stress and there's so much anxiety and there's so much fear and there's so much frustration that people are not acting like themselves, Pashit. They're just not exhibiting their higher selves, their real selves. I'm not exhibiting my highest self all the time. You know, so I choose that I'm not going to form opinions about other people during this time. And so even to criticize them is itself embodying a little bit of their midah. So we want to stay away from all of that. But just to reflect and to look at ourselves and to say, how much would it take to stand up and to choose to do something special for a day, for 2 days, for a week, to only look at the good, to embody HaKadosh Baruch Hu's midah, not to knee-jerk, you know, so we see something wrong and we go right away and we have to share it and we have to say it and we have to forward a video that's negative and to forward distressing scenes of this person doing, you know, wrong to that person and that person doing wrong to this person. Maybe the most important thing for me right now is not to forward that. Is to take a deep breath, is to pick up my fingers from the keyboard, is to close my mouth for a moment, and to choose to imitate God in this moment, to say, I'm choosing consciously not to look at, and it's not ignorance is bliss. I'm not being ignorant. I know that Ra exists, just like God, the all-knowing, all-powerful God. He knows the chasroinus. But I'm choosing to imitate God in this moment, to find the good, to find the good. That's the courageous thing. Ezu gibar hakoivish is yitzray. And that's one of the strongest yitzharas in our time now, in our current situation, is to express our anger and our angst and anxiety and frustration in negative words. Like we spoke about also last week, with regard to the mitzora, and how our words are so valuable, they're so powerful. And so a person, Rabbi Nachman says, is usur, it's forbidden for him to look all the time specifically to find the negative in his friend. I'm sorry, to look and find the blemishes in his friend's avodah rak adraba. It is our obligation, our moral obligation, but more so our spiritual obligation in this time specifically, lahabit rak alatayev, to only look at the good. And I'm saying now this took far longer than I thought it would, Baruch Hashem. It means we did it right. And so the Ma'ari Naim will say for next year. But I'm holding you to it. And Ritz Hashem, I hope that you'll join me next year at this time, Ritz Hashem, under very different circumstances. Hopefully we can sit together in Yerushalayim. It's really not my my natural, so to speak, way of communicating in such a way. I would love for all of you to be surrounding me and sitting by the table. Baruch Hashem, I'm sitting in Yerushalayim, I'm facing my window, I see the mountains, I see the buildings, I see our land, and I yearn for all of you to come, for all of you to be here with me, mamish. And Baruch Hashem, I do believe that next year we'll be here, we'll all be together, Baruch Hashem, in a way to mark my words, and I hope that I'm right, and I hope that you'll join me, and we'll learn the Ma'ari Naim together. But to review, V'yahavta l'reacha kamocha ani Hashem. What do these two things have in common? Why are they brought in the same verse? What's the togetherness of Ani Hashem and V'ahavta l'reacha kamocha? And the answer is twofold. The first answer is that the premises for V'ahavta l'reacha kamocha is the knowledge and the belief that we are created. And if I am a creation, the other is also a creation. And if I am deserving by virtue of my being a creation, the other is also deserving. Therefore, Ani Hashem. Because the premise of the after the Recha Kamech is the knowledge that there's a creator. And the second point also, just as important, is that everything that I have in my life that was given to me is so that I can give, again, in the appropriate time and the right way, to others. And that's also Ani Hashem. But like we discussed and we described, it's so, so deep. It's so powerful. The context of Yahavta Derecha Kamocha, which is that I, sharing a God, sharing a Father, a spiritual source with the other, have an obligation to go ahead and to treat him just like I want myself to be treated. The content of that relationship needs to also mirror the content of the relationship between our mutual Father, which is unconditional. That's what Rabbi Nachman says. Derech Hashem Yisbarach la'abit ala toiv sha'oisim. God's way is to look at the good, chever. We have to believe it. We have to, or else we can't live another day. We have to believe every moment that God is looking at the good things. That's His derech. That's His way. That's what He wants. And He wants us to look at others in the same way. Mahu afata, to imitate that, to embody that. And the more that we're able to do that, the more that we're able to put these two things together, v'ahavta l'recha kamocha, and then to allow Ani Hashem to come into manifestation through that relationship and through that connection and through that bond, we should be zocha to draw Hashem's presence mamash into our world. We should be zocha to connect to each other and to Him with so much love and with so much blessing and with so much healing in this month of Iyar, which is Rashi Tevot, Ani Hashem Rofecha. We should be zocha really to draw into our lives the Ani Hashem by virtue of creating a vessel between ourselves. We should only hear good news. We should only choose to see good things. Like I said, we could all see the bad. All of us are aware, very, very, very much aware of the negative things that are happening in our personal lives and the lives of others. We're all aware of it. But we can make a conscious decision to go ahead and to look for the good things. And certainly when it comes to being mashpia on others, not to push onto them negativity that's been pushed onto us, to say good words, to say good things, etc. B'chule, we should be zeicha to all of this and more. And I thank you so, so much for taking the time and joining me. And what can I say? I could only bless us that we should be zeicha to sit in person here in Yerushalayim together. Emir Tz Hashem.